know, I was thinking, or not thinking, only knowing that we're getting, a lot of us, we got a large number of senior citizens. Y'all know that, this church? In fact, majority. How old do you have to be a senior citizen? Anybody know? You're old as you feel, how old do you have to feel to be a senior citizen? But most of us is, you know, a senior citizens, and you think you get to be a senior citizen. I always think that my grandmother on my daddy's side lived with us, and when I was young coming along, and I got to thinking, well, it looked like she had it made. You know, I had to get up and go to school, and, you know, she didn't have to get up early, and she was up every morning before the chickens would. And I said, what in the world is wrong with her? I need to sleep. I like to sleep, and she don't have to get up and go to school, and there she is up before I am. You know, I said, well, when I get old, I'll have it made like her, because I won't have to have all these worries I got as a youngin' coming along in school and all the problems that teenagers have. And, buddy, when I get old, I'll have it made. They won't have to, I don't have to worry about these problems. The old people, they got it made. You know, I found out the older you get, the more intense the war becomes. The more intense the war is. There's always built-in problems for every age. And I think we've got some age of our church is really need some assistance of climbing their mountain. And God says, I'll help you. Old Joshua, in chapter 14, there was a man called Caleb. You know, we'll take the journey with the Jews or Israelites for just a few minutes as we have here in Joshua. They're out of Egypt. And the time they got out of Egypt, God marched them right straight to Canaan. And when they got to Canaan, he sent out 12 spies. He got a leader out of each tribe of the nation Israel, was 12 of them. You go into the promised land and you kind of spy out the land, see what we need to do to take it. Moses sent them in there. But we find out that 10 of those come back, and they said, man, we can't take this. They giants in that land. Oh, they're giants. We can't go in. But Joshua and Caleb was the other two of the other two tribes, and man, they said, we can take it. Man, this land is flowing with milk and honey. But the majority of them says, no, we can't. Usually, the majority's wrong. Did y'all know that? Find out where the minority is and vote that away. Most of the time, you'd be right. Majority is usually wrong. They say, we can't go up. We can't claim our Canaan land. God says, all right, go on in. No, we can't go in. God, there are giants in that land. We won't go in. We'll stay out here in the desert. Now, God says, all right, you stay out here in the desert. And he marched them then around the desert. That's where they took a round trip around the desert. And every man from 20 years old and older that come out of Egypt died in that march in the desert. Except two. Who was that? Joshua and Caleb. Because they gave a good report. Now in the book of Joshua, they already passed over Jordan. They're in Canaan. Now, Canaan land represents really our victory in Jesus Christ as a New Testament Christian saved. But we don't want to go any further as most of them of the nation Israel. They was out of bondage, but they didn't want to go any further. And most Christians today are that same way. We're out of bondage of old Satan, but we don't want to go any further. We don't want to claim our mountain as Caleb did. We don't want to claim our Canaan as says move into the promised land. But this man, I wish I could be like this man. God's given me everything I need to be like this man, but I'm not like that man. His name was Caleb. But he was a great man because of the things I'm fixing to tell you about him and his character, his confidence, his courage, and his conquest. And it says there in verse 6 of Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, when the children of Judah came into Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzites, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me, and thee in Kadesh Barnea. That's whenever they went up to the land to start with. and was going to march in, what he said to him. And then 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. He was 40 years old when he sent him in. Nevertheless, my brother and those other 10, my brother that went with me and made the hearts of the people melt, it says, but I, holy Father, Lord my God, remember that phrase now. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trod shall be thy inheritance and thy children forever, because thou have wholly followed the Lord thy God. Again. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That is 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. It says in verse 12, now, therefore, give me this mountain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we just want to thank you this day. And Lord, there are some mountains, Lord, that we certainly need to climb. And most of us can look into our hearts, our mind, and just around us each day. And we can see these mountains. And Father, we can see the giants. And we don't want to go and defeat these giants. We don't want to go to war. We want to stay out in the desert. Father, you want us to conquer our inheritance, as you said we could. But Father, we know that we're people, and just like the nation of Israel, Father, we just don't want to go no further. We pray, God, by the word of God, the Spirit of God, as Caleb was a man, that we might follow him for our example. Holy Father, the Lord, and Father, we pray this night that, Lord, we will wholly follow you, especially myself. Again, we want to thank you, Father, and we just pray the Holy Spirit might encourage each and every one here this hour, because, Father, you was with us just like you was with Caleb. And, Father, we got some mountains. We have some giants. But Father, you can defeat them, not us, but you, not in our power, but in your power. So, Father, I just pray, God, you might speak to the hearts of people here this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Most Christians and myself, we learn how to live, but we waste and lose so much of our time, and we're so defeated in our life because we have unsurrendered the will to be what God wants us to be. What God wants us to be, we have unsurrendered that will. You know, we, most of us, in the valley of depression instead of be up on the mountain of victory. God means for us to be on top of victory. Now, Caleb was that kind of man. As you look at his life in 1 Corinthians 10:6 says, now these things were for our examples. That's things that happened to people in the Old Testament. To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Canaan land was a place there of rest. It's a place of rest for us. Canaan land is our victorious living in Jesus Christ. That is rest. And also it was a release for them. It's a release for us. Now Israel had been slaves by Egypt. And now Christians today, we are slaved by Satan. Israel was wandering in the desert around and around. Now they're in the land of rest, as many people wander today. As you look at the people of the world today, they're in the desert as slaves. People are so nervous, so frustrated, so depressed. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do. It's like a deep sea diver was down, diving deep underwater, and he had a message on a headphone that says, come up quick, the ship's sinking. Y'all get that in a minute. They don't know what to do. Come up quick, the ship is sinking. People don't know what to do. Frustrated. But how the Word of God does not intend for us to have that in our vocabulary as a Christian, to be frustrated, because Canaan is our rest, our release, our refreshments from the desert. Think about those people now. They had wandered in the desert for 40 years. The young people come out of Egypt, all they had known there for 40 years, from the time they was born, 40 years old, when someone was born, when they just come out, A lot of them was born on the way, but all they knew for 40 years was a hot sun and the desert. And all they had to eat was manna, because that was enough to sustain them. You didn't have to worry, ladies, what she's going to fix for supper, because I know they're going to have manna. Manna for breakfast, manna for dinner, and manna for supper. For 40 years now, they was on a desert diet. But now they're in God's blessings, from a land of the blistering sun and sand to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. You know what? We're in that land also. From a land of the desert, also now we find from the rest, relief, and refreshment, we also find out they're in a land of reality. Did you know we're in a land of reality in the Christian life? Just like they was. Now, a lot of people hear sermons, and all the time, sermons about victory. But now we see how it really is for reality. And if we could get this message, if I could get this message more so than anybody else into my heart, more than anybody else, y'all might listen here for a few minutes, but you know I had to listen to God for about 8 to 12 hours on a few little verses of scriptures. Hope y'all could listen for a few minutes. But if we could get this into our heart, and most time we won't, we could be people like old Caleb. You know, Caleb was like a man like old Columbus was fixing to sail. And at that time, there was no maps except the maps. You know, we thought the world was flat. And if you sail too far out, there's nothing beyond. But we had a man like Columbus said, there must be something else. And so he kept on going to, you know what, the world we have today, we know is round. So we need to be men like Columbus, because he said there's much more. And we're saved Christians. But I want to tell you what God is trying to tell you in these scriptures, and Caleb is trying to show us there's much more in our life. Go on, there's much more. Joshua led them now to victory in the illustration and type of Jesus Christ, because in the Old Testament, the name for Jesus Christ is Joshua. That's Jesus' name for Old Testament. And he led them to release, to rest, refreshment, and reality. As Jesus Christ today is leading us, Joshua led them. Caleb represents you and I. Joshua represents Jesus, but Caleb represents you and I. Possess our possession. Receive God's promise. You know God's made us a lot of promises, but you know what? You got to claim them, just like he did the nation of Israel when he marched in right up to the edge of Canaan land and says, go on in and take your possession. Man, you come out of bondage. Now you can go on in that land, and I tell you, you can move in houses you didn't build. You can pluck fruit off of trees that you didn't plant. I'm going to tell you what, there's milk and honey. You need to go on into this land. No, we don't want to go in that land. There's giants in that land. We'll stay out here in the desert. There ain't no giants. There's not no grapes either. So they had to stay out in the desert. But he represents you and I. Now, I want you to look at Caleb's character for just a moment. Caleb's character. Now, in verse 8, it says these three phrases I said. I wholly followed the Lord my God in verse 8 and verse 9. I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 14, I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, what he is saying is he gave 100% of Caleb to the Lord. Now, here tonight, I hope we're all saved tonight. If we're not, we can be. And this, we know that God asked me while I was studying this, how many of us can say tonight, well, you going to heaven? I believe we could all say yes. But how many of us has given all of us to the Lord? How many can say, I'm wholly following Jesus? How many can say that tonight? How many can say that tonight? I have given everything to Jesus Christ. You know, I wish I could be of Caleb. I can't say that tonight. I can't say I wholly follow. I can't say I give everything to the Lord. Can you? Can any of us? We could. Jesus Christ made it possible that we could do that on Calvary's cross. He sent the Spirit of God. Caleb, you know, he had the Spirit of God to come upon him. We got the Spirit of God that lives within us. You know, as I think about our senior adults and seem like, you know, so many of us say, well, we've done our part. Excuse me. Sometimes we get a little bit of age and We don't want to go on. We need to give all ourselves to the Lord. Some of you know about D.L. Moody. He was a great evangelist in his day. He was a Billy Graham of his day, or maybe even bigger. And he had a turning point in his life. He was D.L. Moody would start off as a shoe clerk, a Sunday school teacher, and then he turned a mighty evangelist. And he went to England, and he stayed over in England. There was another evangelist over there in England preaching. And he listened to that man preach. And this other evangelist, and this was a turning point in D.L. Moody's life, and he said, and this is what he took in. This man said, as he was preaching to that congregation of people, the world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with a man wholly committed to Jesus Christ. The world has yet to see. I see evidence in Billy Graham's life. But the world has yet to see what God can do in, through, and with a man wholly committed to Jesus Christ. You know what D.L. Moody said? His heart that night was changed and warmed. He's already a great evangelist, but a turning point in his life. He said, by the grace of God, I will be that man. And he shook two continents for Jesus Christ. Moody Bible Institution, and on and on and on, that he made. Boy, I thought about it. Man, if I could say by the grace of God, I want to be that man. You want to be that woman. How much of the Lord do you want? And that is that your ambition? If it was our ambition, can you imagine what would happen in this church? There's just a few people here this night. If every one of us could say, Lord, I want to be that person that wholly followed the Lord. Can you imagine what would happen Sunday morning? Sunday school would be running over. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. People would come from all over, because you know what? We'd be out witnessing. We'd be out soul winning. We'd be out encouraging. We'd be praying. We'd be filled with the Spirit of God. We'd be moving out to be that person God wants us to be. People think they've done God a favor by showing up once in a while on Sunday morning. God's not interested in us tipping our hat to Him. He wants 100%. He'll not be satisfied with anything less than 100% of us. If you don't give God 100%, as God asked me this question, and I'm asking you, if you don't give God 100%, why not? Why not? Jesus did not bathe this world with His blood for us to serve the world, the flesh, and the devil. We belong to Jesus, and we was brought with a price. Caleb said, I'll wholly follow the Lord. Caleb's character, he wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. The second thing, his confidence, his character led to confidence. Why? He believed in the Word of God. Verse 6 said, remember the things which the Lord hath said. Remember that statement. And then verse 10, and I didn't read that. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as He said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word unto me, Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I believe I read that, but anyway, he was 85 years old. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke. Again, the Lord spoke in that day, for thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the city was great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. God promised, God spoke today. His confidence and which a lot of people don't have. His confidence was in the Word of God. You find out of those phrases of Scripture I read, he said, God spoke. He had confidence in the Word of God. People today don't have confidence in the Word of God. That's what's wrong with our lives, my life. Cato had a mountain to conquer. God gave that mountain. Caleb went up that mountain with a sword of the Lord in one hand and the title deeds of that mountain in the other hand. And God has given you the same thing. A sword is the Word of God. The title deed is a promise that's in the Word of God. For every giant, for every mountain that we face today. Romans 10 and 17, faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 13, 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That we might boldly say, the Lord said. Oh, we don't have this boldness. Caleb was such a great man, as I think about old Caleb, such a great man. Why? He believed in the Word of God. Why did he believe in the Word of God so great? And people hear the Word of God, and why don't I believe as he believed in the Word of God? I'll tell you why. Because his heart was pure. And a pure heart is fertile soil for the seed of God to find roots. And while most of the time people are sitting in a church and they're hearing the preacher preach and the Word of God being read, most of the time it rolls off of their back like water rolls off a duck's back. Why don't it take seed? It takes more than hear a sermon. Because of our hearts are not pure as old Caleb. And we don't hear the Word of God. It don't take root in our heart. And it don't change our life because of our heart. Most of the time, whenever the preaching is going on, a lot of people are thinking about the business deal they need to make next week. What's going to be cooked for supper that next day, or dinner, or football game, hunting, or whatever it might be, but always got their mind on all kinds of things. You know what I'm talking about, because I've sat there and done the same thing. But you see, that we're not hungry enough for God's Word. There's a famine of God's Word in the land that we're living today, and it's also by Christians. You see, we don't want to wholly follow the Lord. And if we don't have this pure heart as he did to follow the Lord 100%, the Word of God can't find lodgment in our heart, and we will never change. Because we can't. His character, he said, we wholly followed the Lord. His confidence, he believed in the Word of God. But look at his courage. One thing led to another. His character, his confidence, and his courage. God had promised him this mountain where the milk and honey flows. But they are adversaries there. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, for a great door of affection have opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. You know, God has opened a great door for you and for me as Christians. But you see, in our lives, as we go forth, you know what happens? The adversaries. And we don't want to face them. We don't like them. God has promised him that mountain. And then we see Joshua chapter 14, 8 and 9. Nevertheless, my brothers that went up with me made the hearts of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trod shall be thy inheritance and thy children forever, because I have wholly followed the Lord my God. Let me give it as to what those others said. In Numbers chapter 13 and 33, this is what the others had to come back and say. And there we saw the giants, the son of the Anakims, which came of the giants, and were in our sight as grasshoppers, as we so were in their sights. Man, they were so big that we were like grasshoppers. You know, grasshoppers, they're hard to get at. God says, go take it. No, they're like grasshoppers. You see what old Caleb had overcome? He had overcome grasshoppers. Those small things that's hard to get at. As we know, that people comes and they listen to the preaching of the Word of God. But you know, most of the time, as people hear the preaching of the Word of God, not from anybody, you have no intents on putting it to practice. That's why I said it don't take root in our heart. And I'm with you. I'm one of you. And as I read the Word of God, you know, I'm going to tell you one thing. Let me make a statement. A confession is good for the soul. I know more about the Word of God than I'm willing to do. How about you? Do you know more than you're willing to do? You better do your head like yes, because most of us do. You know more about the Word of God than you're willing to do. And the more you learn about the Word of God, the more God holds you responsible for you to go on. It's supposed to care if you don't have, a lot of people have no intent of putting in practice the Word of God. But you see, I tell you, it would change our community. So many giants. You say, man, you don't know what you're talking about. There's so many giants and in our lives, ain't nobody can live that way. I want to go back to the desert where the safety of the desert is, where there ain't no giants. I said a while ago, there ain't no grapes, there ain't no milk, there ain't no honey. We fail to possess our possession because we have a grasshopper complex with all the problems we have. Caleb had to overcome the grasshopper before he could overcome the giants. But he said, you know what? He overcame the giants also. In verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord that spoke already for the heart, for the hearest in that day, how the Anakins were there, and the cities was great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. Caleb was excited because the giants was there. Man, listen, I don't want to go up that mountain where the giants is. Caleb was excited about it. Why? Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8 and 9. If the Lord delight in us, then we will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defeat is departed from them. And it says, the Lord is with us, fear them not. You know what he said? Here he says, those giants, those Anakins, they are bread for us. Now, I'm going to tell you what bread does for us. You know, bread, you know what? It's good, but you know what? It really strengthens us. That's part of our meal that really strengthens us. You know what? Bread will enlarge you more than one way. Won't it? It will enlarge you more than just one way. It gives us strength. And you know what? He was excited about that. He was excited about that because it was a mean for growth, not defeat. You know, it's like your kids, you know, you have to say, eat your vegetables. I don't want to eat my vegetables. Eat your vegetables, they're good for you. You know, you'll be healthy if you'd eat your vegetables. I don't want no vegetables. You ever tried to, I remember my mother tried to get me to eat spinach. I didn't like spinach. I love it now, but I didn't like it then. Eat your spinach, you know. I see old Papa on television, and I want to eat my spinach because it's good for you, make you strong. Well, you know what? God says, eat your Anakins. They're bred for you. They're strength. You know what? We got so many Anakins in our life, but we don't want no Anakins. I want to tell you, we don't want any problems or difficulties, and I don't want no problems, and I don't want no difficulties. And you won't grow either. No giants, no strength. Isaiah 54 and 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, it says, Caleb says, you know, he sees these giants from God's standpoint. You know, many times in our life, we see the giant from our standpoint. That's really, we don't want no problem. We don't want no difficulties. Because we don't see these problems and difficulties from God's viewpoint. Caleb did. I don't see them. I get worried. I get all flustered. I mean, problem. I mean, they tear me up. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And I'm started worrying. Why? Because I can't handle it. It's too big for me. Well, these giants were too big for Caleb, but they weren't too big for God. And you don't have no problem in your life or your family life that God can't handle. When am I going to learn that? Lord has been working on me all day, and I still have a problem with that. I still try to do it myself. You know, we are a mighty army. And old Caleb was 85 years old. And I think I'm getting ready to retire. You know, Caleb says, I'm 85 years old, and I'm going strong. And all I need is about 30, 45 more minutes, and I'll be through. But anyway, old Caleb, you know, he had to conquer. He had overcome the giants and overcome the grasshoppers and the giants, and he had to overcome his gray hair, 85 years old. If I had any gray hair, I'd have to overcome mine too, but mine not old enough to get gray. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but through an outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day." I'm getting stronger on the inside, but I'm getting weaker on the outside. Oh, Caleb had both of it going for him. He got both of it going for him. The Lord said to Caleb, as he first went in to spy out this land, right out of Egypt, come back in and says, "Lord, we can take it. Moses, we can take it." You know what God said to him, the words that I read to you? "Come here, Caleb, I want to tell you something." Now, it might be a long, long time, Caleb, before you get this land. It was over 40 years. You know, God has given us a promise. A lot of us are young at one time, and God's got a lot of promises in the Word of God. And he's telling you the promises in the Word of God. It might be a long, long time before you see all the promises come true in your life. Some of the prayers that you prayed for when you was a child. Maybe as you're a mother and a father, that you prayed for your kids or your grandkids. You know, it might be a while, but I promise you that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I promise you that you have the power, because greater he that's in you than he that's in the world, that you can overcome these problems. It might be a while coming, oh Caleb, but I guarantee you, where God guides, he provides. And he provides. Been a long time, Caleb. Man, I wish I could finish. I'm about finished. About 30, 40 more minutes, and I believe it would be through. Caleb, conquest. His conquest. In chapter 14 and 14, it says, "Hebron therefore became his inheritance of Canaan, the son of Jephunneh, Canaanites, and to the land, because that he wholly followed the Lord his God. That mountain called Hebron became his inheritance." You know what that mountain called Hebron, you know what it's called? It's called the mountain of fellowship with God. He says, "I want that mountain called the fellowship with God." It's called the mountain of fullness, and it's called the mountain of fruitfulness. Caleb had three giants to drive out, and the same three giants that we have. In Joshua chapter 15 and verse 14, "And Caleb drove hence the three sons of the Anakims out, Sheshai and his Ahimei, Tamei, the children of the Anakims." Now, Sheshai meant something in the Old Testament. Means, "Who am I?" Ahiman means, "What am I?" Tamei means, "What I can do." And these are the three biggest giants that you'll have to drive out of your life. That is, the first giant is a giant of our ego, what I am. The second giant is a giant of pride, what I am and what I can do. And this third giant is a giant of self-reliance. I can do anything. These three giants have to be misplaced when we come to God. God, I can't, but you can. He never said that we could, but he said that he would. Caleb carried out a purpose. He claimed a promise. He counted on the presence. He conquered a possession. The title, God's Glorious Mountain. A quest, he totally followed the Lord. A request, give me this mountain. A conquest, he took that mountain. And finishing, be a Columbus, be a Caleb on God's grace on the oceans of life. Man, if I could be that man, how come I'm not? Lord, I think, and I know I went long, and I apologize, and those young'uns over there are fixing to go home, and they're going to get just as mad as they can be if we don't get out of here where they can go home and get them young'uns. And I'm sorry. School day. If you will, we'll just bow our head and have a word of prayer at this time. Father, we want to thank again for thy presence. Father, for the word of God, for the power of the word of God. Lord, we just pray, God, that our hearts might be for that fruitful soil to take in the word of God, to change our lives. Father, every one of us needs changing.